Let me crib here from a new book, hot off the presses, entitled Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. It is not rational to assume that wars are always fought only the way we know them. We must permit ourselves to think of war as a silent, unnoticed, slow-working, but deliberate destruction of life on a planet, a satellite, or even a star. We must be ready to change every single view we've ever held sacred if it contradicts new facts and new experiences. War may be going on right now with no one being aware of it, with men dying, with trees bending like rubber hoses, green pastures turning into dust bowls, and with academic and civil institutions explaining it all away with just this or just that. In short, it may turn out correct what one would otherwise feel inclined to ascribe to a schizophrenic mind. Namely, that instead of shooting at the victim of war with bullets, one could very well sap life energy out of the war victims with machines which operate according to the organic potential of the cosmic energy. When Coast to Coast continues in just a few moments, my conversation with the author of Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, Ilana Freeland. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. My name is Richard Serrett. Ilana Freeland came of political age during the COINTELPRO decade of Vietnam, street riots, political assassinations, and all-night rap sessions about the downfall of the establishment. Researching Sub Rosa America included discovering how deeply her U.S. Navy father was enmeshed with the very military-industrial complex she was writing about, and like the characters in the book, learning how every major event and personality in the United States political establishment over the past 40 years is tied in one way or another to the assassination of John F. Kennedy in Dallas. She's the editor of Paranoia Magazine, and tonight she's here to talk about her brand new book, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. Ilana Freeland, welcome to Coast. How are you?
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Well, where do we begin? Let's first talk briefly about the chapter that I just mentioned earlier, ionizing the atmosphere, and that ostensibly is what we're told HARP is all about. Just go into a little bit of detail and explain what HARP, this array of radio transmitters, what it's supposed to do. How does it ionize the atmosphere?
Well, first, I think it's important to say that, I mean, some of your listeners must have heard that the HARP instrument in Gakona, Alaska, is being shut down or shunted to some other handler or being taken deeper black. HARP, as I use the term in the book, because no term has really been given us since it's such a secret national security technology, HARP in the book refers to a huge network that is worldwide now of very similar transmitters like the one in Gakona and ionospheric heaters and radio towers, radar installations, SBX-1, which is a mobile sea ionosphere. There are many ways that the weather, as one of the things that HARP is doing, is being directed. And it's important to know that because some people are thinking, well, you know, they're shutting HARP down, so no problem. No, I name over 50 installations in the book, and I'm sure there are more that I wasn't able to get hold of. So that's the first thing to know. We're talking about a worldwide network of installations that are ionizing the atmosphere and directing current toward weather systems and for other agendas of the military-industrial complex. Now, that said, I can go very much into detail regarding how it works. Do you want me to do that?
Yes, I'd be fascinated to know how ionizing the atmosphere is responsible for things like drought, freak snowstorms, all of this crazy weather, hurricanes occurring in places they shouldn't be occurring, and at times they shouldn't be occurring. How can an array of radio transmitters do that?
Well, when, as you know, around the Earth is a magnetosphere, and the magnetosphere is composed of many billions of lines of force, tiny lines of force. So take the ionospheric heater in Gakona, for example. When that is activated and all that voltage is going up those lines of force, they can spiral up. And then they go up into the ionosphere. They balloon it out because it's very hot now. And many electrons are being released up there. It balloons out. Following it is our atmosphere. As, just consider that a vacuum sucks up our atmosphere, and that too is ionized. And then it's coming back down those same lines of force. And what is interesting is by using ELFs, extra low frequency, they are able to angle those spiraling ions coming down the lines of force in such a way that they are activated tremendously, logarithmically. And that then, as it's coming down, can be directed by various other IRIs, steering mechanisms to increase to hit a weather system coming in, and bring a low along the edge of it, bring a high, direct it to go. It should have been raining in South Dakota, but now it's being directed to another part of the country. And by doing this, our atmosphere is ionized. And what I try to show in the book is that weather is certainly a large part of this, using weather as a war instrument and a threat, perhaps, as you know, such as how we've used it in Iran to bring drought conditions by pulling away their rain clouds and sending them to the UK. This technology has been worked on for over 50 years, and now the new part of it is the chemtrails. And the chemtrails are filled with heavy metals, mainly aluminum, barium, and strontium, all highly conductive. And so these nanoparticulates, which are very conductive, stimulate even more in our atmosphere. And when people talk about global warming, this is more what global warming is about than carbons. And to me, from my research, the carbons that are constantly talked about are really much more of a cover story than causal to what we were calling global warming. But now, because we're seeing extreme weather also in the winter, all of it now is under the rubric of extreme weather.
And, Ilana Freeland, let me just remind listeners, Ilana Freeland is with us, the author of Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth here on Coast. So you're saying are you saying that virtually all of the weather systems that we are now experiencing are man-made? They are created by installations like HAARP in conjunction with chemtrails.
I can't say that for sure, but I can say that the weather over NATO countries, I've determined completely that part of being a member of NATO now is that these chemtrails will show up in your country almost the day after, before the ink is dry, on your having joined NATO. This happened to Croatia. Croatia learned too late. As far as other countries, I can only assume that it's happening over Russia, because Russia was one of the first ones who took this Tesla technology and created what we used to call the woodpecker. And we were hearing the woodpecker here in the 70s. I think you probably know the story in the 80s, how they targeted the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, and people there developed cancer. So I know that Russia has the technology, and are they having the chemtrails over their country? That I do not know. And over China, I don't know. But so, everywhere else, artificial weather is being created. But remember, there has to be something to begin with. There has to be a real weather system moving in. And when I said that the atmosphere was sucked up into that vacuum in the ionosphere, keep in mind that the jet stream often follows that. And so the jet stream itself can be directed in various ways. And the jet stream is filled with 2 to 3 rivers, tremendous amount of moisture. So you can see what an implement of political clout this can be. You can threaten countries, especially southern countries, with drought if they don't behave properly, and you can do it. Right now, what did they have in Nebraska? They had those big snowballs of hail that are very dangerous, and I understand that UK is getting hit by that right now. So yes, these artificial systems are being moved around the world, and in my opinion, one of the agendas is political clout.
So weather as a force multiplier. In fact, I believe that was the subtitle of a Pentagon white paper that was entitled "Owning the Weather in 2025," and I believe that came out somewhere in the early 90s. So it would appear that if what you're saying is correct, that the Pentagon is way ahead of schedule. They own the weather.
Yes. But I think that what I want to really emphasize tonight, and there are many agendas, basically 7 agendas, that the military-industrial complex has in mind for this, what I call in the book, the chemtrails, HAARP, pump and dump, is they want to be able to keep the atmosphere ionized. And that's why we're seeing in most parts of the country chemtrails being laid every day. And when I say chemtrails, I'm not talking about contrails. Of course, there's a lot of confusion about that. But contrails are really just water vapor. And they have a certain distance from the engine that they come out, and they have a certain amount of time in which they remain in the air before dissipating. These are chemtrails. And that term, by the way, if you've looked at the book, you know, is really from a 1990, the Air Force Academy used the term chemtrails on the cover of their manuals for their chemists that they were preparing to understand aerosols. So that term itself, I think, was probably implanted in the net by the military itself. So to keep the ionization going in the atmosphere, they drop the chemtrails. The chemtrails begin to dissipate out. And in the chemtrails are various mixes. Then it would depend on where. I'm certainly not a fly on the wall to see what mixes they're using where. But you can, if you become an observer of the clouds that are left by the chemtrails, this sort of cloud veil that we all are experiencing so that our skies are not as blue as they used to be, you can watch them dissipate out. You'll see various patterns. Sometimes it's very curly, sometimes it's spiky. And this must be because whatever the particulates are in the chemtrails are composed of different metals, chemicals, biologicals, and polymers is primarily what's in them. And when these all go out, then the atmosphere is properly ionized. What's the purpose of ionization? Well, it's very conductive. And with all the wireless that the military is responsible for, I mean, many people just think of their cell phones and wireless instruments as being a wonderful convenience. But for the military, they always have very long-range agendas. And this, in my estimation, from my research, has to do with C4, what they call C4. And that's command, control, communications, and computers. So computers would be cyber warfare. And you think of drones. You have to be able to direct the drones. In fact, many of the flights that we're seeing spraying the chemicals are at about 35,000, 40,000 feet and sometimes lower, depending if they're military or commercial. And they are often drone flights. There's no pilot in them. So it's essential for them to do this to keep C4 at the precipice of warfare, because they feel that they are need to be battle ready everywhere, and they're calling the entire world, the entire globe, and I guess we're involved in that too, because we are the inhabitants of the earth. They're calling it all battle space. And
well, I was going to say ahead. I think even the military has admitted that one of the possible uses for a HAARP-like installation would be to provide a way to wipe out communications over an extremely large area while keeping the military's own communication systems working. Now, would they do that through some sort of an electromagnetic pulse? So you would have essentially the force of an atomic bomb minus the radiation.
Yes, an EMP would be exactly how they do that. And they could also do it in a smaller area with laser particle lasers. So I think that what we're looking at is keeping the atmosphere at a maximum conductivity for the C4. And meanwhile, down come these heavy metals, and they have to be sprayed every day because they have weight, even though they're tiny. And they're coming down, and we're breathing them. And all of nature is breathing them. All the animals, even the plants, are breathing them. And along with them are the polymers that I want to talk about at some point tonight, which are being piggybacked by biologicals for experimentation. And so there are multiple agendas being addressed between in the tangent between the chemtrails and the use of HAARP. That's the crucial part, because you have to think synergistically here. Like I was listening to that ad before the show about a cancer treatment to boost the immune system. That is really spot on, because this synergy that is happening through all of the waste products and the chemicals that we're already under, and the Fukushima radiation and so many things that people are just deluged daily by the thought of all the things that we're inheriting in this era. They all act synergistically, but you can get a feel for it, can't you, that if this atmosphere is electrical, and that's what ionized means, it's electrical, then what will that do to the synergy of all these other things that we are prone to? That's really my major concern. The fact that the military is dropping things on us, that's not new. I spent the first chapter talking about the last 50 years in the Cold War of all the ways that they were using us as guinea pigs, because under that, I think it's, I'm looking here now, Section 15-20A, Chapter 32 of the U.S. Code, Title 30, restrictions on use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents. It does forbid this. However, there is a way that it can be done. While the Secretary of Defense may not conduct any chemical or biological experiments on civilian populations, the loophole lies in allowing for medical, therapeutical, pharmaceutical, agricultural, and industrial research and tests including research for protection against weapons and for law enforcement purposes like riot control. Now, HAARP was named a project, a research project, that's the RP in it, in the acronym, and that's why, because that's the loophole. If you're doing a research project, then you can use civilian populations without informing them and without their consent.
All right, we'll take a time out. And as also you point out in the book, Admiral William Owens, Vice Chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, called Ionizing the Atmosphere America's Gift to Warfare. Back with more of my conversation with Ilana Freeland, author of Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, right here on Coast to Coast. Stay with us. Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. Ilana Freeland is the editor of Paranoia Magazine, her brand new book, Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And she's here to explain how chemtrails and ionospheric heaters, like the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, or HAARP, in Alaska, services a full spectrum dominance. This revolution in military affairs, she says, needs an atmospheric medium to assure wireless access to the bodies and brains of everyone on Earth. From heat-seeking missiles to a form of mind control. How sinister are these technologies? Are we being prepared for a global village lockdown? The recent release of NSA records have reminded us that eyes in the sky are tracking us as supercomputers record the phone calls, emails, internet posts, and even the brain frequencies of millions. Back with more of my conversation with Ilana Freeland when Coast to Coast continues right after this.
SquareTrade does not cover lost or stolen items. Savings based on two-year iPhone plan with one claim compared to Assurian total equipment coverage.
Every 2 seconds, one of us accidentally breaks our smartphone. So protecting your phone is a smart idea. But if you have insurance from one of those big cell phone companies, you're paying way too much. I'm Steve Abernathy, and I founded SquareTrade to give you a better choice. AT&T can charge $10 a month for phone insurance. Same for Verizon. Sprint, $11. Plus up to a $199 deductible when you break your phone. SquareTrade phone protection is only $5 a month with a much lower deductible. We can save you over $250. A family of four can save over $1,000. And switching to SquareTrade is easy. Even if you're locked into a two-year phone contract with AT&T, Verizon, or Sprint, you can cancel their phone insurance anytime. We'll even show you how.
Switch to SquareTrade now and you can save over $250. Call 1-800-5757-157 or visit squaretrade.com. 1-800-5757-157.
SquareTrade!
I got my life back with Freedom Flex.
Does your work, favorite activity, or just having fun give you pain in your neck, back, elbow, knee, or shoulder? Get rescued from joint pain caused by repetitive motion activity with new Freedom Flex Rescue Soft Gels. No other product has what Freedom Flex Rescue has. Vinoprin 1-Hour Pain Relief relies only on hops, but Freedom Flex Rescue combines hops extract with four additional powerful active ingredients, including Apriflex Boswellia and turmeric, to attack pain on multiple levels, plus an exclusive nanotechnology for faster, better absorption.
It's like five products in one.
I can play golf again with no elbow pain. I got my life back.
I had rotator cuff pain. Freedom Flex gave me my movement back.
Now I ride my motorcycle without knee pain. I got my fun back.
It's safe with no side effects, natural, powerful, and has a risk-free money-back guarantee. For a free sample pack, go to freedomflex.com. Just pay shipping and your sample is free.
freedomflex.com.
It works.
Freedom Flex.
We are back here on Coast to Coast AM with Ilana Freeland, author of Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. I want to spend some time with you, Ilana, discussing the mental disruption possibilities for HAARP. I mean, this is the most, perhaps to me anyway, that one of the most disturbing aspects of not only what you write about, but others like Dr. Nick Begich. What are we talking about here when it comes to HAARP and mental disruption possibilities?
Well, when I think of HAARP, and again, I remind the listeners that we're talking about not just the Gakona, Alaska installation, we're talking about a worldwide network of many instruments that are dealing with electromagnetic energy. And I think of when I was living in London a few years ago, I would often walk. It's a fabulous city. And now and then I would notice how quiescent everyone was. And I was a little surprised. At first I thought it was just because they're British, but they also have many immigrants there from many countries, especially in the EU. And then now and then I would walk through an area where I would feel a current passing through my head. It would give me a slight pain. So it suddenly occurred to me that, well, what would prevent the military or intelligence from broadcasting a frequency over an entire population of, say, a big city and making people quiescent or, in the inverse, making them violent and angry? So with that in mind, when I was studying the HARP technology, I realized that really what we're talking about is building up an atmosphere, an ionized atmosphere, in which this plasma, because that's what it would be, plasma being the fourth state of matter, it's sort of a cross between a gas and matter, that this plasma could be used by other instruments, say cell towers. There are many, many devices on cell towers that have nothing to do with people's cell phones. And usually the higher up you go on a cell tower, the more there are instruments that belong to the military for, they say it's for weather alerts, emergency alerts, but we really don't know what's up there. And so I'm not thinking that you're going to see some vast energy pouring down from the sky in some sort of godlike manner and people being frozen like, you know, the Day of the Dead or something. But I can completely see how you could steer a current over a city, set a frequency for it, dial it in, and then the people, as a large population, then they will experience whatever it is, because the idea that the brain has not been fully mapped is ridiculous. It's been mapped for at least 3 decades, if not more. And so, you know, all the emotions are have a certain frequency, and that would not be difficult. But the point for HARP in this is that it supplies an energetic field that is ready and able at any moment to be used. And that, of course, is a great advantage to the military for warfare and for population control.
Well, I remember...
Is that what you were thinking of?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And I also remember reading about these studies that were done back in the early 60s. And they demonstrated a relationship, or a correlation at least, between the effects of these external magnetic fields on brain waves. And for example, they showed a relationship between psychiatric admissions and solar magnetic storms. So if there's a relationship between solar magnetic storms and psychiatric admissions, you know, knowing how vulnerable we are and our brains are to any sort of ELF waves, you get that sort of, you know, the human brain would start to resonate to the outside signal, almost like a tuning fork effect.
Oh, very much so. The human body is completely a tower. It's an electrical tower. And I think the author and scientist who goes most deeply into that is Dr. Robert O. Becker. I'm a big fan of his work. And I would like to take a moment to explain to people and try to build a mental picture of how this might work, because what you're referring to in the magnetic sense that we have in our bodies, which we do, and we are all in a magnetosphere, you're referring to cyclotron resonance. And that is crucial in the functioning of HARP, which is what makes it a powerful instrument of war Along the lines of, I think I refer in the historical chapter to the Tunguska event that took place in Tesla's lifetime, early 20th century, when he had built his great vast tower at Wardenclyffe out on Long Island. And then there was this up on the Arctic Circle, and Gakona is also on the Arctic Circle, up there in Russia, in Siberia, there was this huge explosion at a place called Tunguska. And at that time, they sold the story that it was a meteor and it was this and that. I talk in the book about how strange it was to me, because the day after the explosion, that was when Admiral Byrd left on his famous Arctic voyage with a tremendous, a team. And I think it would be my guess, I can't prove it, but that they went up to investigate what had happened, because Tesla had been able to do that with his tower. And he wasn't even able to register and create heat that would stimulate the ionosphere to produce more and more electrons. He was not able to do that, but he was able, with that vast, huge tower, possibly because it was of the latitude of the Arctic Circle, he was able to create an explosion at a distance. And Thomas Bearden, who is a proponent, I think Mr. Bearden is dead now, but he is the proponent of scalar interferometry. And scalar interferometry is a very interesting science. And I think that what we're looking at is, by using extra low frequency, we can stimulate the long waves that travel through the Earth with tremendous force. And that is really, I'm convinced now, that's really what Tesla discovered. The important thing was these long waves, these scalar waves that sort of, if you can imagine it, and I'm no expert on this, but if I can imagine this, they actually go around space-time. They do not travel through space-time. It's kind of like when an electromagnetic current moves, you can't see it, but you could measure it as going through the air. But imagine a current that would bypass space-time. And this is something that I refer to in the book, but because I'm no expert, I leave it to others with greater ability. At this point, if I could, I'd like to just read a couple things to show you this relationship between HARP and the cyclotron resonance, which it uses, and how that relates to our brain waves.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely essential. Absolutely. Please.
Yes, I think so, too. And I appreciate this opportunity, because more and more I'm going to need to speak these things and not just write them. So on page 65... this is the chapter, a really great chapter, if I say so myself, in which, with the help of Clifford Carnicom, I deconstruct Bernard Eastland's, his primary 1987 HARP patent. And everything's in there, as Clifford told me. I didn't believe him at the beginning, but as I read it more and more thoroughly, everything's in there, even chemtrails. Eastland lays the whole thing out, and that is also in the book at the back of this chapter.
Interject quickly here. You're saying that Eastland essentially, he borrowed heavily from Tesla. Is that correct? That he was building on the work of Tesla?
I don't have any documentation on that, but it's certainly evident that he was dealing with Tesla. And also, this is in the wake of the Russian woodpecker, which was the mid to late 70s when they were zapping the embassy in Moscow. So I do think there's a lot of disinformation around it, but I do think that at a certain point, the United States was lagging behind Russia. Russia has always been very good at studying psychotronics, as they call it, and energetics. And I think that they were ahead, and the woodpecker woke people up. here, and we have caught up with a vengeance. So here's what I just want to say about this might give, especially the scientifically minded out there, a picture of how HARP works. Okay. We learned that electromagnetic radiation is transmitted from the Earth's surface along naturally occurring divergent magnetic field lines extending through regions to be altered. That's straight from Eastland's patent. These natural magnetic field lines constitute electromagnetic highways between the upper and lower atmospheres. The arrows, and then I talk about the arrows there, and the idea is, okay, we want to create a lot of, we want to free a lot of electrons so we can create more plasma. And I don't know if you saw it, but there was an article, 6 months ago or so, in which NASA proudly announced with some very vague-looking photographs how they had created a mirror, a plasma mirror, with the help of HARP. And the plasma mirror is a very interesting part of this, and it has to do with the cyclotron resonance. Okay, so pass a certain radio frequency current through a concentric coil, we're talking a Tesla coil, with the axial magnetic field confining the plasma, and in each half cycle of rotation, remember, up the magnetic line, down the magnetic line, along those field lines, the charged particles acquire energy from the oscillating electric field associated with the frequency. All right, so you zap it up, and when it comes down with much more, many active electrons coming zooming down those magnetic lines of force, they're oscillating. They're coming down a fire pole, just like a fire pole. Then I go on and say Earth's atmosphere, upper and lower, is to be transmuted into a fully ionized plasma by means of heat. In particular, electron cyclotron resonance. All right.
Okay. I don't want to get too technical. I don't want to get too technical. But how does that translate into, for example, mind control? Whether you're talking about affecting people's moods over a large area.
That's where I bring in the wonderful book by Becker called Cross Currents, The Perils of Electropollution, The Promise of Electromedicine. And in there, he talks about cyclotron resonance in a much less scientific way, but still, it's as if he's describing how HARP works as he goes into it. And then he hits you with the big one. Cyclotron resonance is a mechanism of action that enables very low-strength electromagnetic fields acting in concert with the Earth's geomagnetic field to produce major biological effects by concentrating the energy in the applied field upon specific particles, such as the biologically important ions of sodium, calcium, potassium, and lithium. And so here we see that how HARP works and how the energy is coming back down along those magnetic lines of force, which are traveling straight through our bodies, all the way around our bodies. They are everywhere. You cannot see them, but those magnetic lines of force, we are very intimate with them. So in this way, were HARP to be used, or a HARP-like instrument to be used to pulse out, and pulse is the word for cyclotron resonance, pulsing at a definite rate, at a definite frequency, a tremendous amount of energy, well, it goes straight into our bloodstream. It goes straight into our brain. There is no barrier to that.
Is there a sort of a cut and dried recipe, do you think? One frequency goes out and you can make a certain population compliant, placid. Another frequency can agitate a population. I mean, do they have the science down?
Absolutely. That has been, that was discovered back with MK Ultra. That's when they decided that. And as I was watching, when I'd get a chance with the television around, watching the footage of what was going on in Ukraine a month ago, I was wondering about it. I was wondering, are they zapping Ukraine? Because the one thing I know is that they have these new toys, these new technological toys. Well, they're going to use them because they can, and they're going to experiment with them. So while everyone was thinking it was sword rattling of the Russians and, oh, you know, we're not getting along with Putin and the whole drama, I was actually wondering if those people were experiencing frequency.
But how finely tuned an instrument is it? I mean, are they capable of focusing on one particular neighborhood, on one specific household even?
Well, now you're getting into targeting of individuals, and you don't need HAARP for that. However, you do need, you might need, if you had enough individuals that you were going to do, you would need to have an ionized atmosphere. It would make it much easier for you to run, say, you know, 1,000 operations in Santa Rosa, California, if you had 1,000 operations. I mean, you can take a dedicated satellite and do that. I think there are some pictures on the web and some YouTubes of some people being terribly targeted, and you can actually see the lasers zapping them from the sky, and you can actually see plasma in the room being like lying on their heads and on their eyes. And I mean, I still remember Carolyn Williams Pallett, or Carolyn Pallett Williams. I refer to her in the book. I'd love to know if she's still alive. She wrote some brilliant things about being targeted, and she really figured out the HAARP piece of how this works with satellite, with cell towers. I mean, why have we been sold all these cell phones? I don't own one myself. And all these towers going up, and they're on grade schools, and they're on libraries. They're everywhere. You can't stop them.
We are swimming in a virtual electronic smog. Listen, Ilana, we'll take a time out. We'll come back and continue to discuss chemtrails, HAARP, and the full spectrum dominance of planet Earth. Ilana Freeland, editor of Paranoia Magazine. My name is Richard Serrett. We'll be back with more of Coast to Coast AM. Stay a while.